You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, June 29th, and you're listening to the College Football Daily. I'm your host, Chris Hummer. In a moment, you'll hear an interview with new Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables, who touches on his journey to Oklahoma, his quarterback situation, and much, much more. But before we get there, let's briefly go over some important scheduling news that came out of the ACC on Monday. The league announced starting for the 2023 season, it would eliminate divisions and move to a 3-5-5 scheduling model. That means each ACC team will play 8 conference games a year, 3 against permanent opponents, and 5 against teams outside their fixture schools. Those 5 opponents will rotate. That way, each ACC school plays each other twice in a 4-year period, with one home and one road game each. For example, Clemson's permanent opponents are Florida State, Georgia Tech, and NC State. But the Tigers will also play Wake Forest 2 times between 2023 and 2026. The ACC championship game participants will be determined by conference winning percentage. No more divisions. Expect changes like this to be more common in college football over the next few years. The Pac-12 and Mountain West have already moved to eliminate divisions after the NCAA in May eliminated the requirement of divisions to host a conference championship game. It's the way of the future in college football. And speaking of someone who's participated in a number of ACC title games over the last decade, here's former Clemson defensive coordinator and current Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables. I wanted to start with a question that I know a lot of people are probably curious about. We've watched you on the sidelines for years, and I have to start by asking, will you have a get-back guy this year at Oklahoma?
Yeah, there'll be no need for a big get-back guy. Those days are over. I think he's retired from his get-back days, my get-back guy from Clemson.
Pretty good job at UVA now.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Adam would do a great job there. So, yeah, no big get-back guys. Well, we have plenty of guys managing sidelines. I'm part of that sideline. So, just like every football sideline, you got to keep people off the field and out of harm's way. So, we'll continue to do that.
Does being the head coach just come with a slightly calmer demeanor on the sideline? Is that the reason for no get-back guy?
I don't know. I think I was fine. You know, I never had a penalty. My whole career, I've never had a penalty. So, I think I'll be all right.
A more serious question. You were at Clemson for a decade, and you probably had a lot of chances to leave. What made Oklahoma the right fit for you as you pondered that decision?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things. It wasn't just one thing. Relationships was a big part of it. Having lived and been a part of this program and this community and this university for 13 years was a big part of it. You know, certainly a level of comfort, relationships with the same athletic director, Joe Castiglione, who's as good as there is in the business. A lot of stability. You know, this program has won the most games in college football the last 50 years. The only program since 1999 that has not endured a losing season in the Power Five. And the place that has the most conference championships in the genesis of college football, 50 of them. So a lot of not only success, but championship excellence and stable leadership. You know, Joe Harris, president of our universities, when I was here before, you know, he's the dean of the law school, and then he became general counsel for the university, and then now the president. So from alignment with leadership, Norman's a wonderful community, over 100,000 people. It's a very diverse and connected community. We sold out every home game since 1999, had the best winning percentage, I believe, since 2000, lost 11 times the last 21 years in this stadium. A lot of excellence going. A lot of people talk about, well, we got, you know, the number of seats that they have in their stadium, the stadium size, but we've sold them out. And not only that, we've won more than anybody, you know, in the last 21 years at home. So trying to take a great program that's been very stable. We've won 78 games the last 7 years. I was with Coach Stoops when he was here, came in 1999. He recruited me out of high school, still a big part of this program and in ways both, you know, on and off the field, mostly off the field now, but has a couple sons still on the team. And so through, you know, this process, when it came open, there was a lot of comfort, a lot of clarity for me. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't have left for another job, but it had to be the right one, you know, a place that you can win at the highest level, do it at a place where you love the people that you're working with and you love where you live every day, where you're raising a family and, you know, where there's a growth mindset, progressive, forward-thinking leadership, that's innovative and hungry and never satisfied. I want to constantly push the needle in the right direction. But to be great at something, I think that you don't ever stay the same.
I want to stay introspective for a second. You mentioned Coach Stoops and Coach Sweeney, obviously, we worked for a decade. Two of the most influential college football coaches of the last 50 years, no question. How much of your coaching DNA, how much of your head coaching blueprint and plan are you taking from those two? And how are you intermixing your own philosophies and personality into that?
Well, we would both be remiss if we didn't make it a point. My foundation started with Bill Snyder.
He would write me a handwritten letter saying how wrong I was there, I think.
Well, and deservedly so. He's still to this day known as the architect of the biggest turnaround in the history of college football. And what he was able to do to take that program that has close to the most losses ever in college football history, to take it. The last game that coached in the Big 12 there was the Big 12 championship, where we're the number one team in the country. And it had the top ranked defense in college football and a number of the last years that we were there. And he's had that program back even since I went to Oklahoma and then to Clemson. While he was still coaching, got him back to number one again. And I think they had a late season tough loss to Baylor. Cats did. And I learned, and Coach Stoops, remember, he worked for Bill Snyder. Hired him. I think that was maybe Coach Stoops' second job. He was a GA at Iowa. Kent State was his first full-time job, and then got hired at Kansas State and then recruited me. And then went to bat for me along with Jim Leavitt to help me get hired when Jim Leavitt went to South Florida to start that program. I got promoted with Coach Stoops' encouragement. Pretty ironic. Super, super thankful. But I cut my teeth under Bill Snyder, who showed me what organization, what details, what consistency and your messaging and how to get more out of less. And this, the grassroots of, you know, hard work and toughness, discipline and team and family to never give up. And like, that's a mindset. Oh, is that what sounds? Some people, it's cliche and it's something that's cool to put on the wall. And then some people's in their DNA, in their fiber. And for us that were there during that era, we all deeply understand what that looks like. And so for me, foundationally, I could not have learned from a better man than Bill Snyder.
We'll be right back with more from Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables after this break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's BOLL&Branch.com.
I want to turn the lens inward to the roster a little bit real quick. You spoke earlier about having to overcome adversity and have to deal with those moments. And you had some quarterback attrition in your room and you ended up bringing in Dylan Gabriel to help address that. What does he mean for this team going into your first year?
Yeah. It was a fun spring at times for probably Coach Levy, frustrated, you know, just because everything was new for everyone other than Dylan. Dylan was the one guy that had experience within the system. And then the rest of them really hadn't thrown a ball in a college game at Oklahoma anyway. And so, but Dylan really transitioned quickly, you know, very calm. He's not a big rah-rah guy, incredibly confident, shows tremendous humility day in and day out, how he does what he does. But he's got a positivity. He's got good juice, a great presence to him. He's always ready. He's a ball junkie. You know, he's around the football offices nonstop. And players like him. They're attracted to his work ethic and, again, his humility. And he's got a can-do, get-to mindset, you know, with everything that he does. But the great ones, the great play callers, the great CEOs, the great players, maybe it's the great corner, maybe it's the great quarterback, they compete with this different level of anticipation, no matter what it is. And so he does a great job, you know, from an anticipation standpoint. If that's pocket presence or throwing the ball on time, even though that window's closed, he knows it's getting ready to open up. He has those instinctual things to him too that you can't coach, that you love about the really good one. So he's been wonderful in every way.
What made Coach Lovey the right fit at OC? And even as a defensive coach, I'm wondering, what makes the Beard shoot so hard to defend even in 2022?
Well, you know, he's one of the 17 former players on staff, right? And that doesn't make him the great fit. That's just, there's lots of ands as opposed to buts with when you're talking about Jeff Lovey. So, but I was here when we recruited him out of Andrews, Texas, back after the 1999 season. And really cool for me to see this group of guys that are best friends. Joe John, also another former Oklahoma great from Arlington High School, or DeMarco Murray from Bishop Gorman, and got Cale Gunney from, you know, Midwest City. All these, you know, former Oklahoma greats. And then you got Bill Biedenboe, who's the best in college football, and Oklahoma's home for him. So to know if I brought Jeff into that setting, I knew about all those relationships and how it could be like this, okay, from a fit standpoint. But Jeff fits me too, and who he is as a husband and a father and a leader, and who he was as a player, knowing what he comes from. He's been incredibly successful. Everything he does, he does it and over delivers, and he's done the same thing as an offensive coordinator. So philosophy, scheme, adjustments, creativity, understanding defense, you know, I think it's one thing to intimately understand your side of the ball, but when you intimately understand how people do what they do and why they do what they do on the other side of the ball, I think takes your game as a coordinator to a whole nother level. And Jeff has, you know, instinctually those same types of qualities as well. And then he's got a great presence to him. You know, anybody that's met Jeff was like, man, he's impressive, humble, well-spoken, strong command, got a great presence. He's a tough guy, you know, but he's very technical and a tremendous teacher.
I know every situation is different, but at Ole Miss and a couple of the stops before that for him, he played really fast in terms of plays per minute. They were near the top of the country in that category. How do you think about that offense in terms of the context of complementary defense to go with it? Like, how does that relationship function?
I think the defense's job is to stop people, and the offense's job is to be efficient and score points. And so, first of all, it starts with that. You know, there are opportunities to complement one another. Absolutely. You know, you got to be able to do that. But you got to be efficient. You know, to me, whatever you decide to do, if you're a press team, you're playing press man-to-man coverage all the time, and you got guys that can't press, then you better stop pressing. You better change it up. And if we're a team that's going to go really fast and we're punting all the time and we're not scoring points, we ain't going to be going very fast. I can tell you that. So you got to be efficient. Whatever it is that you do, you need to be efficient. And at the end of the day, win. That's the number one goal, is win. I don't care what it is. You know, I've got my own sense of pride, and I got a very clear vision for what the cleanliness that winning, we want it to look like. Okay. Very clear vision. But at the end of the day, the goal is to win. So if they go, you know, 1,000 miles an hour doing so, great. You know, but at the end of the day, you want to be efficient, you know, again, on both sides of the ball, and complement one another. So I certainly recognize the strain that it can cause, you know, from all the different things that it can cause issues for defense. But the biggest thing is being efficient, you know, understanding who to block, how to target people, you know, making sure we're in, you know, good plays and things that, of that nature, you know, from a situational standpoint. To me, you can't hope that the other team isn't lined up in order to win the game. That's not why you go no huddle, to me, or in tempo. You know, to me, okay, what if they get lined up and handle your tempo? Now, can you block? Can you be physical? You know, can you be efficient? Can you score points? They know what you're in. They got their hand in the dirt. Okay. They're ready to play fundamentals and technique and got eyes where they need to be. That's the defensive strategy to that, right? All right. So now what? And so I don't want to rely on somebody not being lined up in order to win and be successful. Will that inherently be a byproduct of that? Yep. But not when it's said and done, okay, you hang your hat on physicality and precision and technique and fundamentals and competitive plays, okay, and execution, all right? Not counting on somebody not getting lined up.
A bit of a roster philosophical question, but y'all took 13 transfers this offseason in a transition class, which I know has a lot to do with that. That's a lot different than what you experienced the last decade at Clemson. How in non-transition years will the portal play as part of your vision for the program?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to rely heavily on high school kids and be a developmental program. I believe inherently in that, you know, having guys here for 3, 4, and 5 years, the continuity helps you be successful, both on your staff and in the locker room. There's no reason for pause for young people because there's no penalty if they want to pick up and leave. You know, I know young people can be irrational, and I've got two nephews and two sons in college. I got daughters 12 and 13. They can be a little emotionally irrational. That's what they are. And so you got to address the holes and, you know, the voids in your roster of where and how you see fit. And we feel like we've done that, you know, through the off season. And, you know, we lost a lot of guys to graduation. A bunch of guys came out early, and then we had some portal guys. All three happened. And so we've had close to 50 plus numbers with both scholarship and walk-ons between mid-year. And we had 26 guys that just moved in last Saturday. So it's exciting. You know, everybody's different. Everybody has a story and it's on a journey. And that's a very exciting thing to kind of, again, bring it all together and get them to mesh and, you know, to work together, you know, for a common purpose.
Last thing, and this is kind of a unique question, I guess, in this circumstance, because a lot of first year coaches, when you ask them about their long term vision for a program, they're building something up or they're starting from ground zero and using a lot of that Miracle-Gro to get started quickly. Oklahoma's in a bit of a different position, given the success the program's had for the entirety of its run playing football, essentially. How do you view your role at Oklahoma, and what's your long term vision for the program?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's unique. One, it has been very successful. That was, quite frankly, attractive to me. I like to win. I know how to win. I won a lot. And so, but there's been tremendous roster turnover between, again, graduation, and we had 11 guys at the combine, you know, had over 10 guys drafted, and we lost a lot of production. And then we had some portal. Every one of our quarterbacks, they're all gone. So for us, obviously you want something. I'm not concerned about creating a great team. I want a great program, and a great team is very singular focused, and a great program has, you know, it has a strong root system. It has a sustainability and longevity. And you do that foundationally, getting the right people. People always make the place, make no mistake about it. So we're going to always be you got to be talented enough. That's a very bare minimum. You got to be talented enough, but you've got to find the right people that fit, you know, the culture of this place and the values that we have as a program. And they fit both scheme wise and who they are, what their focus and goals are, and, you know, what they come from. So for us, it's really important that we get the people part right. You know, people that, again, that, you know, they value education, they value structure and accountability, they value relationships. They're looking for, again, for all the right things that align with us as a program.
Coach Venables, thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck in your first season at Oklahoma, and best of luck with everything else.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you to Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables for joining the College Football Daily. For myself and our producer, Lance Glenn, thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, please don't hesitate to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Talk to y'all soon.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.